Olympic champions and groundbreakers, creatives and visionaries, dreamers and doers. Welcome to this edition of the Nike Air Society podcast. I'm Jessica Williams. Nike Air Society explores the intersection between sport and style and brings together powerful women for down-to-earth conversations about drive, inspiration, creativity, and community. The conversation that you're about to hear was recorded live in Brooklyn. I had the best time talking with Olympic bronze medalist Spencer, Ibtihaj Muhammad, and musician Dunya on redefining style, pushing boundaries, and stretching the parameters of what's possible in sport and culture. Enjoy, y'all. It's about to be lit. Nike Air Society style.
Hello, everyone. How was brunch? It was good. Did you guys get like a Bloody Mary that had like a slider attached to like a huge pickle under a slice of pizza? No? You wish? So these are two incredibly talented and inspiring women. I have the pleasure and honor of bringing together an Olympic medal winning fencer with a singer, songwriter, and activist. So please help me in welcoming Ibtihaj Muhammad and Dunya.
Ladies!
Hi, ladies. Hello. Hi. Hi, darling.
Hi. My
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you have a seat here and here, and then we'll just get adjusted. So excited to speak to you guys. I follow you both on social media.
Yes. Oh.
Love. I love the way you guys hit the gram.
That means Instagram for all you.
Lingo.
People here. Lingo. It's me. I'm the old person here.
But no, I'm so excited to talk to you guys. What I love about the both of you in your own way is you both open up the conversation and also bring authenticity to the people that follow you and the people that are fans of yours. Can you talk to me about why authenticity is important to you and how you like to kind of give that back to people?
I feel like for me, it's just really not a choice sometimes, you know, because I'm like, I just feel like it's so hard for me to keep up this persona, especially when I'm like constantly snapping or constantly tweeting. And at one point I was like, damn, I should like mitigate what I'm saying on the internet, or I should like, you know, like I should narrow down these posts a little bit, you know. So I was like, okay, I mean, this is what y'all like. But yeah, and it was cool that, you know, people were like, oh, okay, so now I feel like I could be myself and, you know, say these kind of outlandish things and it's chill. And I'm like, yeah, let's all be wild on Twitter, you know?
That's funny. Okay, what about you?
Yeah, for so long, I feel like for the time I was really young, the people around me, right, people who may not know you and have these wild, like, misconceptions, uh-huh, and perceptions about who you are just based on your gender or your religion or your ethnicity. And for me, I've always been, I feel like, true to myself and who I am. I've always been really proud of, you know, being African-American, uh-huh, being a Muslim woman. And I feel like that's where I get my confidence from, and just being myself all the time and being unapologetically myself. Uh-huh. And I think that that's when I feel most comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how, if you don't mind me asking, where are you from? How did you even get into fencing as like an African-American
Muslim
woman?
I'm from Jersey, girl.
And then I want to know where you're from, too. Tell me your story.
I'm from Queens. I'm from Morocco and Queens, New York.
That's awesome.
But I love Jersey, too. My mom lives there, so.
Yeah. Okay, so we got double J. Okay. So tell, how did you get to fencing? Like, how did you get into that?
I played a lot of different sports growing up, and in each of those sports as a young Muslim kid, my parents would always have to alter the uniform by adding long sleeves, adding long pants. And by chance, my mom and I discovered fencing. We were driving past a local high school in Maplewood, 12 years old, no joke, sitting at a stoplight. We saw fencing inside the school cafeteria windows. And my mom's like, don't know what it is, want you to try it. Because the athletes were fully covered. Uh-huh. They had on like long tops. They had on long pants. And she's like, oh, that works. Uh-huh. I don't have to like go run out to Modell's and buy you another top.
That's
so,
like such a mom thing.
That's such a black mom thing, right?
Yeah, like my first day at the Daily Show was like, mom, we need to go get like J. Crew suit, a J. Crew suit. My mom was like, girl, no, we going to TJ Maxx.
I know, that's right.
But anyway, so you happen to see this. Your mom was like, this, I want you to
this
try
works,
it.
This works, yeah.
Did you put up a fight at all? Were you like, okay, whatever, let's go see?
You, I've always been, I feel like not even a step ahead. I'm a planner. I'm very type A. I come from a large family. I'm one of five kids, and my parents, like, my mom's a teacher, my dad's a retired drug detective, so it's like, I need to be resourceful with how I plan to pay for school, right? I didn't want to go to a state school. I wanted to go to a top 10 school in the country. They all have fencing teams. So I was like, oh, this is how I'm going to go to school. I'm going to fence, right?
Wow.
That was my plan at 12.
Wow.
And I wasn't even very good at fencing. I just worked harder than everyone else.
Yeah.
That's how it be. Ambition be getting you anywhere you need to go, honestly.
Yeah. Hard work.
Wait, what do you mean you worked harder? Like, you were doing more practices? Were you showing up later?
Competitive, right? Coming from a large family, you have to like fight for the last slice of pizza. You just gotta like work harder than everyone. I don't know. I'm just competitive. I hate to lose, and I think that's always been like this driving force in my life, is trying to get to what's next, whatever that is. And as a kid, I never said, oh man, I want to go to the Olympics. I never thought about that. I always, you know, wanted to go to a good school. Then I want to do well at NCAAs. And then after that, I was like, man, Team USA doesn't have any women of color on the U.S. Women's Sabre team. I was like, I'm going to make that happen.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. That's a slay.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, I did it for us.
Yeah.
I feel like it was time. It's like, how in this day and age we have U.S. sports team that exists absent of, you know, the beautiful diversity of our country.
Yeah. It's really amazing the lack of representation that we have just in sports and like actually in music and, you know, in film and TV. And it's so inspiring to see someone who looks like you finally up on screen kicking ass. I'm like,
was that you fencing?
Yeah, which was like, it also looked like I was doing like wizarding wand work.
Nah, girl.
That was disrespectful.
No,
I'm sorry.
It wasn't. I saw Tokyo 2020 in
you
your
did,
future.
Did you really? Don't
I sure did.
So I will definitely do it.
You have the height.
Thank you.
Look, I can get you prepared for the next Olympics.
Shut the front.
Yes.
You're gonna get me prepared to like go fly out and watch you at the next Olympics. Like that's what I'm doing. They're like, that's
amazing.
Too much. That's like way too much. They're like, that's too much diversity. We can't. You're killing it. But Dunya, tell me, like, what's your background? You said you're from Morocco and Queens?
Yes. So basically, I was actually born in a quaint little town in New Jersey and immediately shipped off to Morocco.
Yes,
to be
why?
Honest.
Why? Morocco?
Because my mom was just like, yo, these Americans are crazy. I mean, look at me now. Shorty didn't really prevent much. But she was like, yeah, she needs to go back to the hometown and, you know, have my mom raise her and whatever. So I went over there and I had a very traditional upbringing in Morocco.
What does that look like, a traditional upbringing?
What does that look like? I mean, my family's very Muslim. So, I mean, my mom's a lot more liberated than the rest of my family. But my uncle was very, very strict Muslim. And I grew up kind of like around him. And I was just like, so like unconventional. So it was like, just like a lot for me to handle, like just being myself, or kind of just naturally the conversations I gravitate to, or kind of the art that I was drawn to. So what it kind of did for me being in Morocco or being raised in that scenario was, I feel like forced to be open-minded in every avenue that I could be, where I was like, yeah, I relate to you, I relate to my Muslim family members, and I relate to this dynamic, but I also relate to being like a wild, you know, like unconventional Muslim girl. So basically, when I was 8, I went to New York, Queens, and I went to elementary school, middle school, and high school, all in Queens. And is there some Queens in the building? I heard a little clap. Hey, what's good?
Okay.
loves it.
Two of y'all. They're like, we don't call
two of
that.
Us, you know.
Queenies in the house. They're like, you're not in this. That's fine. Stay out. That's fine. I'm from Los Angeles, so. Angelini's. Okay, good guys.
So, but yeah, that's basically it. I feel like, how's it like affect me was I never really listened to music.
Uh-huh.
Like it's not really a Muslim thing, right? To listen to music, right?
Oh yeah, no. Yeah. To not listen to music is a Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
Why, if you don't mind me asking, is
why is doing her
right?
Do I know
like,
anything?
I'm like, mommy, are you here?
Know,
why didn't
like,
we listen to music?
She's like, what did you say?
Right.
I really don't know.
Why is that a thing?
I really don't. I'm not the most educated Muslim. I'm just traditionally Muslim. You know?
It has to do with like the instruments and stuff. I don't want to get into like the legalities of why music, but sure. Culturally, I know for me, like as an African American, my parents are both converted to Islam. You know, they walked a very like tight rope religiously, right? Mm-hmm. We just didn't listen to music. So like Tupac, Biggie, I'm always like, which song was that?
Me too. Right? Me too.
Like, I know, revoke my black card.
You have an authentic black experience. Like, don't worry. I don't have the power to give or take away that card. That's right? Somebody way
more militant than me. That's okay. Way cooler.
But yeah, it's true. Like, I didn't have any exposure to music. Uh-huh. So basically, my first kind of, you know, music exposure was very pop radio. It was Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. Like, that's what I knew. Uh-huh. And then I got into Eminem, you know? And I was like, oh my God. You know, and I was also like a huge book nerd, so I didn't really care for pop culture other than Eminem and Taylor Swift.
What were you reading as a book nerd? I don't know.
Like, you know, what's a really, like, a book that affected me a lot was Does My Head Look Big in This? And it was a book about, like, this girl who, like, put on the hijab and was, like, you know, embracing, you know, being a Muslim girl. And I was in America at the time, and I decided to, like, wear the hijab, like, temporarily. And I was like, I was just so inspired. I was like a kid, and I was so inspired by this book. I was like, this is amazing. I'm like, yes. You know, like, I don't know. I just read so much. But, yeah, wasn't really interested in pop culture. So then I was just writing a lot of poetry. I was a published poet when I was, like, 12, like, sixth grade. Like, and I just continued on that path. And then when I was in high school, I realized I, like, couldn't communicate conventionally. Like, I was really, like, socially inept a little bit. And I was like, damn, I could write music to, like, you know, kind of translate what I want to say in this, like, fun and super, you know, beautifully digestible kind of medium, which is what music is. And that's really just, you know, how it came about, where I was like, yes, I love music, I love writing, it's fun.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Okay, well, you've both been advocates for driving women forward through sport, fashion, music, and creativity. Can you talk more about your motivations and experience pushing for diversity and equality in both of your careers? Mm-hmm.
I feel like with me, I started off in a very, like, interesting space. Before I was in music, I was, like, a plus-size model. So I was existing in this, like, New York kind of, like, fashion, you know, I'm cooler than you because I'm not going to talk to you at this party, like, you know, like, energy. And, like, I realized that we just needed, you know, more, like, real people in that scope. And I was, like, meeting with agencies and kind of, like, seeing their reactions toward me. Kind of made me realize, I'm like, y'all need to see more, you know, just like more different girls in general.
What kind of reactions did you get?
Oh God, it's just like, just making me feel crazy for like existing in that space looking the way that I do, or like, you know, being, you know, I don't know, flamboyant, or, you know,
just being quirky. Do they want you to be a bit more controlled? Or?
Yes, and like, I'm very opinionated, but not in the way that they deem like brandable, because they love it when you're like opinionated, but you know, just like in the right way, you know, like, you know, just like, just the bare minimum kind of like politics surface level. But with me, it's like, I genuinely am like observing what's, you know, like anything that's going on. And I'm like actually coming up with, you know, conversation starters, not necessarily ones that I just see regurgitated all the time, but like things that, you know, might not necessarily, you know, be agreeable with everybody. So that was a problem for a lot of like agents. They'd be like, yeah, we saw your Twitter. It's like,
yeah. Like, it's interesting.
It's like, yeah, it's interesting. Huh. And, even in music, honestly, I've been getting reactions like that. I opened for this guy on tour, and, you know, I'm just like funny. Like, I'm, you know, it's just like, it's nothing crazy. It's like, yeah, like systemic, you know, oppression is a thing and male female dynamics are a thing, but I'll just like poke jokes at it on Twitter and they'll be like, you're wiling on Twitter. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm just, you know, it's just normal topics. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I just realized, I'm like, we need diversity in so many different avenues, you know, whether it comes to loud girls and, you know, girls of color. It's like, we can't have these same, like, seven faces in every campaign and every video, you know, campaigns. Like, yeah, so basically.
It's interesting, like, how, I mean, you talking about, like, the art space, I feel like is so, it mirrors to me sport. And that as an athlete, we're often told not to use our voice. Mm-hmm. And that desire to, you know, speak on social issues can often be suppressed by, like, you know, larger entities that are like, you know, that's not really your job. We just want you to play. And when, as a woman specifically of color, mm-hmm. it's for me, it's not even like a pull and tug kind of thing. It's like, no, this is who I am. I have to speak my truth always, because when we look, for me in particular, when I look at like predecessors and people that I looked up to growing up as athletes, like Muhammad Ali or like Serena and Venus, right? To see them, you know, dominate on the tennis court changed my life and how I viewed myself. So it's like, I have to be that example for the younger girls. Like, I have to show them that I'm going to be strong in this moment. I'm not going to be afraid to speak up because I'm, you know, scared about my own financial security or whatever it is. It's like, no, I have ancestors who laid their lives on the line, right? Sword, yeah. Yeah, to make sure that I can exist in these spaces and feel comfortable in these spaces. And when we talk about, you know, art, we talk about athletics, we talk about Hollywood, and that there's still a lack of representation. We still have, you know, work left to do.
Yeah, so literally in every field, we still have a lot of work to do. It's crazy to think about.
It is. Yeah. You know what's crazy is, for me, the hardest part about, one of the hardest parts about adulting is realizing actually that the world is not fair still yet, and that there's actually still so much that needs to be done, even though, you know, we read about, like, the civil rights movement in the 60s. Naively, I think that I thought, oh, actually, you know, it's fine. We did it.
We're chilling.
It's
right?
done. It's done. Everyone can get married. Like, it's all fine. Right. You know, equal expression. But it's really interesting now that there's, you know, there's so much work to be done.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And representation is so important. Like, I never realized before, you just hear these, like, you know, these statements. You're like, yeah, we need representation. I'm like, yeah, we need representation. But then I realized, I was like, no, like, we really, like, need representation. Yeah, because it's, like, subconsciously lack of representation be, like, limiting your mind to what you think you can do as a woman of color. As, you know what I'm saying, any unconventional entity, if you don't see yourself presented in the scope that you want to present yourself as, just subconsciously your mind doesn't go there. Like, no, you know,
you never see yourself in that space. You can't even imagine it, right? Like you said, unconsciously, you just don't imagine yourself in that space. So to have women like yourself, like, dominate these spaces and take on these spaces. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm always thinking about, you know, like, your younger self, right? And those moments of doubt. Because society's always telling you, trying to put you in the box and say, this is what you can be as a little black girl. This is all you can do. Here's your ceiling. You can't move from this box. And it's like, no, we have to think out of the box. We have to think of ourselves as having our own television shows, right? Like, being badasses and being unapologetic about who we are, our, you know, our beauty, and accepting and embracing who we are and not caring what other people think, mm-hmm. right?
Facts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm, like, snapping. What was it like for you as a kid when you started fencing, or like as a teen, you know, preteen? What was it like when you got into fencing and found that actually people did not look like you? How did you keep going? What was your motivation?
When I tried to convince my friends, so my really close friends at school, we were, you know, all African American, but we were like all in honors class together. So that was like our connection. I'm from like a predominantly white town, but they put the few black kids in the honors class. We were all together in this class, very close friends. I tried to get them to fence with me. And when we got to fencing tryouts and they saw a sea of white kids, they were like, absolutely not. Right. So, for me, I saw a means to an end. I was like, no, no, no. I'm going to a good school on a fencing scholarship. And I'm like, do you guys want to go to a good school? You need to join this team with me. And they were like, no, thanks. Right? So from the very beginning, it felt like almost like a lonely space just from looking different. But when I put my mask on, my fencing mask, it was life-changing because I just felt like a part of the team. I felt like I was seen solely for my athletic ability. It wasn't about the color of my skin. It wasn't about being a girl. It wasn't about, you know, being Muslim, wearing hijab. It was, how good can you be? And I was very blessed to have the best high school team ever. But it's easy. We won everything. We were the state champions. And it's
awesome.
Easy.
That's like a humble brag, but that's fine.
Look, we were lit back then.
And love it. I love the idea that you're like a grandmother and you're like, we were lit back then.
It was amazing. Look, fencing, there's more fencers in the state of New Jersey than anywhere else in the world. Like, there's so many high schools that have it. But we were a really, really strong team. And it's easy, you know, when everything's going good to be happy. But there were different spaces in my life. You know, when I went to college, you weren't at Duke, we weren't winning everything. So it wasn't all kumbaya. There were no unicorns, you know. So it was a little bit of a struggle to be the only Black girl at Duke. And I will say, when I was, I think, 16, a woman came to me at a fencing competition. And she said, did you know there are Black people who fence in New York? And I was offended, but I was like, on Google, like, Black people fencing New York, because I'm like, I gotta find it.
Right?
You're like, but where? So I found them, and I fence for a nonprofit here in New York City.
Wow, awesome.
And when you see an African American in the sport of fencing, 9 out of 10 times they came through this foundation.
What's it called?
Peter Westbrook Foundation.
Oh,
and
awesome.
It was started by a 6-time Olympian, 13-time national champion, who's raised in New Jersey. He's half Japanese, half Black. But long story short, he wanted to use the sport of fencing to change lives. And, I mean, all of his friends growing up are either dead, in jail, on drugs. And his mom used fencing to, you know, lead him away from that lifestyle growing up in Newark, New Jersey. So he wanted to do the same thing with sport. And that's why he started this foundation. And it's transformed so many lives. Like, not everyone comes out, you know, an Olympian, Olympic medalist. But, I mean, they have tutoring programs.
Some do, you know.
I know.
Yeah. Look, that was from God, girl, because I didn't see that coming. That Olympic medal was from God. No, but honestly, to see what sport can do, to give kids the opportunity to do something, just to even to see, like we talked about, seeing people be successful who look like you, it literally changes the way you see yourself. Whether or not we like to admit it, to see, you know, yourself in someone else is really life-changing. I know what it did for me at 16. I was like, there are Black people on the U.S. Olympic team who have Olympic medals, who did it more than once. I didn't even know fencing was in the Olympics, you know? So
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I also kind of didn't until you jumped on the
team. I'm like, well, was that shame?
I kind of did
it.
No, it wasn't.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
It's magic watching you.
Oh,
it really is.
I appreciate that.
No, I'm not just saying that because we're she's incredible.
No, it's so crazy. You could feel the love. Like, fencing, there's nothing like competing for your country on the Olympic stage. Nothing like it. Indescribable. You wake up in the morning.
I know,
look, this is going to happen for you. Tokyo 2020. You heard it here first.
You heard it here, folks. On this podcast in Brooklyn. Tokyo 2020. I'll be there standing on the side.
it's a pinch me moment.
Yeah.
I still wake up like, I forget I have an Olympic medal. I don't even know. It's somewhere in my parents' house. I forget I have it because it's so crazy that it happened. Mm-hmm. I kid you not, I'm a kid from Jersey who worked hard in a random sport and made it to the Olympics. That's
I feel
wild.
Like you're being super humble.
I'm not.
But
I'm not.
It's true. It's like
normal.
True. Hashtag true, not true. But
right?
It's like, yes. But also, you know, it's
really
incredible.
Funny.
Oh, thank you. That's my job. That's my Olympic sport. That's what I'm trying to do.
I'm trying not to let this, like, black eyeliner run in front of everybody from
laughing
so hard.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Can I ask, who inspires you?
Just, like, everybody around me. I feel like I literally just love, like, people. Like, I just enjoy, you know, the energies of different people I meet. And I'm lucky to be kind of in this, like, industry or, you know, be able to do things like this where I meet, like, 80 a day. And I'm just, like, soaking up everybody's energy. And, yeah, that's definitely the most inspiring. I feel like I aspire to be as open of a person as possible. Especially coming from like a fashion world where people think that's like not cute to do or like, you know, like be like isolated. Like the cooler you are, the more isolated you are and the more dehumanized you are.
The point is to be cool. Like you're very cool. You're like very
Thank
cool.
You.
You have a cool energy.
Thank you so
but
much.
You're saying in this industry you found yourself people wanted to put you in a box to be cooler.
No, it wasn't. It's more so like they feel like they need this like illusion of mystery, you know, and I feel like a lot of people kind of feel like they have to hide behind that because, I don't know, maybe they feel like their personality isn't, you know, up to par or, you know, I mean, I'm empathetic toward every personality. I don't even judge people who, you know, I'm like, oh, you're judging me or like you're judging, I'm not going to judge you because I know that's coming from whatever place it's coming from. But, Yeah, so I don't know. I was just like, I just want to demolish this thing where we have to be super mysterious. And I feel like as girls especially, we always have to be kind of like demure and, you know, kind of like, you know, just like polite and just, I don't know, just digestible in whatever, you know, avenue it is. But yeah, definitely who inspires me is also other women that are just, you know, in platforms like, you know, just crazy ones like this. Or yeah.
Like, is that what I am?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm like, well, like, I'm like, I'm like, I'll take it.
I love it. Yeah, that ass.
Who inspires you, Taj?
Hearing that from a young person is inspiring, because I feel like, imagine how hard it would be to be a young person in the age of social media, right? Like when you say
it
teens drive you crazy, I can't even imagine.
I mean, just
so hard. Yeah,
media,
it's just.
Can you tell us about
God?
No. We're ladies on the porch, like.
No, we're talking even younger than Dunia,
yeah, like,
right?
Like, yes, like 12, 13.
Right,
old,
and your livelihood, and like, you know, riding on how many likes you get on an Instagram post,
yeah.
Right?
Ruins
and
your
self-worth. Yeah, like your self-worth being wrapped up in
a like,
right, that's wild
it
to me.
Seems so
the
beyond.
Pressure, you know?
Because we miss, like, we just missed that.
Thank
I
the Lord.
Like, yeah.
That's the last
because
thing I needed.
It's like, yeah, because...
I was trying to go to
yeah.
a good school. I did not have time to worry about,
no.
like, please.
I was like, there's too many Harry Potter books to
right?
read. I have too much Sims to play.
Right? I'm like, I gotta go to practice.
Yeah,
I do not
yeah.
have time for this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for me, it's really inspiring to see young people who are self-aware, who can be proud of themselves and not be caught up in this rat race of social media. And it also, to me, is, I don't know, a little disheartening to see people who do get caught up in it,
uh-huh.
you know, because I feel like it almost becomes like a black hole that you get sucked into and you can't really get out of. I'm all about changing the world for the better in whatever capacity that is, whether that be speaking on social issues to help, whether that be building water wells somewhere. I don't know. I don't know if, like, everything that's meant for me is in fencing, right? But I'm, like, I feel like I'm always moving and shaking to try to find, like, that what's next, because I want to help other people, right? Because I feel like that's our purpose here on this earth. It's not to be, like, self-serving,
yeah.
But it's to help others. And I don't know, again, don't know where that ends or where it begins. And I feel like
never ends.
Yeah, like we're all on this journey and this search. And I feel like it should be about helping others. And to me, that's most inspiring, is to find people who are in line with that thought process to
yeah,
build,
sure.
you know?
Building. But yeah, social media could definitely put you in a very vapid place. Like if you let it, you know, like... I definitely have had phases where I'm like, damn, I'm flopping on Instagram. Like, like that's it. Like, what's going on? Like, it's over. But then, you know, you just start realizing, you're like, no, you know, I'm real life. You know, I'm a real life girl. Like, like I need to not put this pressure on myself or my posts or whatever. And I know y'all feel that sometimes.
Oh,
I
yeah,
know if
not,
you have Instagram and, you know, like you feel that pressure, because I see it with my friends too. And they're all like supermodels, you know, and they're all, you know, like super, you know, into their feeds. But yeah, it's easy to get down that vapid kind of scope. But it's also easy to be like, listen, social media can be toxic, but I want to counteract all that terrible shit that I see on the daily. And I, you know, it's necessary for me to be on here and try to be positive to y'all, because, you know, all I see most of the time on, you know, like Twitter and Instagram is a lot of negative dialect too. Like, have y'all realized how normalized it is to like be negative now on
yeah.
the internet?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
You know, it's like crazy. Yeah. So sometimes I'm like, damn, this isn't good for me to like digest. I want, you know, this is not good for my mentality, but I also feel like I have an obligation to like try to put some positivity in the mix of like all this. Or
but
like,
I also,
I hate myself.
I think there's a flip side of that, right? So I feel like there's bad and there's good. So when you think of like even a young person, right, to be able to feel out of place, to not feel included, to feel underrepresented, you can find your tribe through social media. And it's so much easier,
yeah,
like with the click of a button now than it was like even 10 years ago. So I feel like there's good things and bad things. I just hope, like you said, we can eliminate like the trolling
and
the negative comments. Like, I'm such a fan of blocking and deleting.
Me too. Like, I'm like, I give you 1 minute government space. Like, right. You don't need equal opportunity on my page. Delete.
Right?
Delete. If you don't like Buffy and you post it on my page, get out of here.
Right? I'm like, goodbye.
No hate. Like, I don't give a crap.
Me neither.
But it's just funny. People come back and they're like, why did you do that? This is like, I can't believe you delete my comments.
Right? Like, they're like, this is freedom of speech. I'm like, not on my handle.
On my page.
Goodbye.
No.
I'm the same.
I love that.
Right?
Love that.
I can't block because then people get so flattered when I block them and they like post it. They're like, all I did was say her hair looked weird. And I'm like, well, I was offended. Okay, like,
let me just don't need to see it. Like, why would you need
That's
to
what
see
it is. That's what it is.
You
it's not a personal thing. I don't care. Like, for me, I'm like, I don't really care that you're being shady, but I don't want anyone, like, I don't feel like we all need to absorb your shade, you know?
Yeah,
so I'm deleting
not.
It for everybody else.
Yeah, that too. It's
now
like,
no one knows you exist.
Know my hair looks
exactly.
Weird, okay, so this last thing I want to do is a little game time. We're going to do a game. Sorry I sang, but that's what I'm doing. Anyway, we're going to play something called Mad Libs.
Are we singing? Because I can't sing.
You can't. That's fine. You don't have to, but, you know, it's optional.
Right?
Yeah.
I got you. No.
It's optional. You're like, thank
like
you.
Like, surprise performance, anyway.
I'm going to shock you guys. I probably sound like Beyonce.
I know. Right? I know. When you open your mouth and you sound like Beyonce, I will be in Tokyo in 2020. It will be the weirdest news story.
Was this better also?
Yes. That
better?
Was amazing.
Thank you so much.
That was amazing.
Thank you. Okay, so finish these sentences with one word, and I want these answers very quickly, okay? Growing up, I had a poster of blank on my wall.
Oh, good one.
Like Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, no.
Awesome. That's a good one.
My queen.
No, she was like, Lindsay Lohan was like, very
and Lizzie McGuire, and then they like fought, so
they
then I had to like choose which one I wanted on my wall.
They did have.
I chose Lindsay. Sorry.
Yeah, you did. Oh, sir. I was a Hillary girl. I'm a Hillary top girl.
Two types of people.
Yeah,
I had Tommy Smith, John Carlos, 68 games.
Okay.
But for context, I also built a slave ship out of paper mache in like eighth grade.
Oh
so I was
that's
like very
intense.
Black. Yes.
That is so black.
I was like, you guys are going to teach us our history. I'll teach everybody.
Were you really serious?
Look, my parents were like, no, we're going to teach you about all of this.
That's
awesome. Oh, yeah, right?
That's tight.
I know.
Yeah, definitely.
They're the best.
Okay. If I only had 20 minutes to work out, I would
run.
20 minutes is like an abundance of time. No, I'm like, what? Yes. Squats, you know, some weight training. I like Pilates.
Okay, great. You want Pilates? Okay.
I like the Pilates moment.
I was like, did anyone believe her?
I did. It did feel like an impression.
Right?
Like
you did a lot. You did squats. You did Pilates.
Squats,
all these
like
20
30
minutes.
Squats. And then, like, you know, then you hold your squat, and that's a Pilates moment. Okay?
I knew you could do it.
That's all it takes to do Pilates, y'all. You just hold your...
Yeah.
When you're doing this, you
and
just
you
stay
can
up.
Open up the movement. You can make it a compound action.
The next
I'll
time,
it.
The
let's,
next
let's
time in Pilates, we don't do this. I'm be like, doing your set, we did it, but
we did it.
Your instructor's gonna be like, we need to talk after class.
Okay, if I was stranded on an island, the one piece of clothing I would bring is.
That's so much pressure on one piece of clothing.
One
I feel
piece
like.
Of Like you're naked without it?
You're good. It looks like, according to my card, that you will be. Okay, I'm going to say you're going to have standard. You're going to have a standard underwear, one.
Okay,
let's
thank you.
Let's say we got underwear. We have shorts and a shirt. Okay, let's just put shorts and a shirt on.
We already have shorts and a shirt? Okay, so then my merch, you know, my intro 2 hoodie, available. No,
okay, great. Now you should do a merch drop. That's like very
merch
fun.
I just bought a hoodie dress. It says 8 girl. It's really adorable. So maybe that I will break on my island.
8 girl hoodie. Okay.
Well, I'm hoping that the standard is something a little bit more modest. But I'm definitely, I'm bringing my hijab, right?
Yeah,
you
didn't
say
that's
that.
My problem. Okay, yes, obvious. That. I just wanted to make equal, you know, equal opportunity.
Okay.
Whatever, I'm sweating. Let's keep going. If you were only allowed to play one sport, what would it be? And it cannot actually be fencing.
Can't be oh, volleyball, easy.
Yes! I played volleyball. I grew up in LA and
oh,
I played
wait.
Volleyball.
Shut up.
Yes,
okay,
I will.
We're gonna play
I will not shut up. I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
Very soon. Okay, what would you play?
Basketball, so I could dunk on all the, you know, y'all, the dudes.
Whoa, you would definitely
so I could dunk on y'all.
How?
I can't
like
play sports.
Well. I'm
scared. It's like too competitive. Like I'm afraid of.
I'm
like,
not a basketball player either.
No,
too much contact. I think.
If anybody
honestly, if anybody was to move towards me, my instinct is this. Like, my instinct is, like, to curl up. So if she was going to come towards me to go dunk, I would be like, no,
this
I don't
like,
want
to this is the Tokyo dream leaving the window.
No. I would just go like this.
And that's never going to work.
I know. But I do box. Like... I do box. Okay. So maybe
that's
there's
sexy.
Something.
That's sexy. I like that. Thank I would you, do I that, too. It. Like a kickboxing moment.
Yes. Kickboxing's iconic.
Yes.
Okay. I like that. Anyway, thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank y'all so much for listening.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nike.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Shout out to the squad.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Nike Air Society. For more information on how you can become a part of it, visit Nike.com/NYC. That's Nike.com/NYC.